TCJ Radio International presents Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. In addition to the newly produced material offered on the website and here on PCJ Media, we also feature some old vintage reports and features from the pre-Switzerland in Sound days. The information they contain may no longer be valid or up to date, but we present this material as a sound document for your listening pleasure. Here is one of those vintage items.
Pornography, the sex shop, and do we need them?
What is pornography?
I don't think pornography exists.
What is pornography?
It is written or illustrated publications of sex life.
What is pornography?
I'm just not able to define pornography.
Making the normal seem abnormal.
Anything that's connected with unusual sexual behavior.
What is pornography?
For a woman, an unfair competition.
I don't know.
Obscene pictures of women and sex.
What is pornography?
Sex with a commercial interest.
What is pornography?
Any kind of obscenity for exciting the sexuality of people.
Pornography exists in the mind, but not mine.
When it offends my taste.
What is pornography?
Pornography is commercialized sex.
What is pornography? Al Imfeld, a Swiss journalist and Roman Catholic priest, and Adolf Schalk, a Swiss-based American correspondent for the magazines The U.S. Catholic and National Catholic Reporter, set out to study what pornography is and what effect it has on modern society. They traveled to Europe's pornography-producing countries, Denmark, Germany, and Holland. Having finished their extensive research, during which they interviewed politicians, church leaders, judicial authorities, psychiatrists, and psychologists, Mr. Imfeld and Mr. Schalk have returned to Switzerland. What is pornography? Here's Mr. Imfeld.
It is impossible to define pornography. Everyone has his own definition of pornography. And even within the legal tradition, it is interesting to see that there is no line. We have research, particularly in this field, from the United States and from Germany, the last 50 years. Analyzing all cases that dealt with pornography and taste, no line, not even something you can put together for a definition. So at one place you have the definition, it has to do with vice in the old religious sense. Then you had something that shocked other people. Then you had something that has to deal actually with abnormality, something that definitely belongs to a doctor. Then you have something that deals with an object that is an abnormal object of love, or then you have just something that is consciously or unconsciously provoking somebody else to do something which within this society isn't allowed to be done publicly.
We're getting close. Mr. Schalk, would you like to get a little closer?
Well, I don't know about getting close to what and close from what, but there is no such thing as a definition of pornography. To my mind, even the dictionary definition is unsatisfactory. It simply says obscenity with very little indication of art. Well,
what's obscene and what's art?
What's art, and where is the line between art and obscenity?
Adolf Schalk and Al Imfeld. If pornography cannot and is not accurately defined, how then do government and police authorities decide what can and cannot be sold in the numerous sex shops which have sprung up in many European cities? This is the question I put to Klaus Funkhauser of the sex shop in downtown Bern. They've been in business for a year.
That's very difficult to say. I think the federal law, the people working there do not know this exactly too. But we think that we are able to sell anything except the Danish and Swedish pornography. We look pornography as following, let's say, couples making love, couples in connection together, showing extreme abnormal things like oral or something like that, or showing the penis or vagina of the woman in extreme good and near photos.
And you, in the shop, consider that to be pornography and you don't sell it?
Yes.
Now, what do you sell?
We sell anything of erotic literature, books, magazines, English, American magazines, German magazines, showing girls and men. We sell a lot of prophylactics, underwear, erotic underwear, games for entertainment, for adults.
With the basic idea of getting the partner's clothes on.
Yes, I think so, that is it.
Is there an age limit for people to come into the shop?
Yes, there is an age limit, and people under 18 is not allowed.
Do women have as much interest in what we might term pornography as men?
I would say they have a latent interest, and it's beginning to come to the fore in certain areas of the world where the women's slave movement has made great progress. For instance, in the United States, through the appearance of this female counterpart to Playboy called She. And I think perhaps in the future we may see a greater amount of pornography geared to the tastes and interests of women.
But even now, for instance, we were told in Denmark and in Hamburg that they have almost as much female customers, not in the shop, but by the
mail order.
Mail order. And that there is a certain difference. Only the male consumer wants pictures, and ladies want more the written pornography.
Yes, description.
Why do you think that is?
I think the women like to play with their imagination more than men. Men want more graphic presentations.
Do women come to the shop?
Yes, women coming to the shop. Say, young girls mostly buying posters, buying underwear, or older women looking around for these mechanical helps, vibrators, and for sometimes underwear too, yes. For instance, we sold once underwear size 56.
Could I put this question to you, gentlemen? Why does it seem today that pornography or the sex industry on the continent of Europe is concentrated in the north, in Scandinavia, in Northern Europe, Holland, Germany, and of course in North America?
It's a Puritan influence to a large extent. That these northern countries have been very strongly influenced by Calvinism and the Puritan element, and also in Scandinavia by the rather conservative Lutheran Church. And that may be part of the reason.
And the second reason now is that these people started to revolt, not only in the sex business, take also religion, for instance. Holland within the Catholic Church has been the rebellious church. And the same thing is happening now within sex. I think those people realize that sex is just part of life, and you have to liberate the whole life in order to be more emancipated. And this kind of emancipation process, looks to me at least, goes on in Scandinavia and in some parts of Germany, Holland. In Germany, I would judge, for instance, pornography quite differently in Germany than in Holland.
Oh, why would you make this distinction?
In Germany, it is really rugged business and cruel business.
And it's also very crude and ordinaire.
Yes,
yes. Yes.
You mean the finished product and also the way the business is carried on?
Yes. For instance, even take St. Pauli today.
Yes.
I guess it has lost a lot of the old fancy and...
There's very little imagination. There's very little left to the imagination.
It's just business.
It's very ordinaire. And I think, like he says, it's just business. And this again gets back to the degradation of women and to the commercialization of something that could be beautiful. And the irony is that repression promotes pornography indirectly, and that the more pornography you have, the more you will cut down on sexual promiscuousness in the end.
Is this not very much like prohibition against alcohol in the United States?
Yes, I think a very definite comparison can be made, that it was shown that prohibition over the long run only induced clandestine drinking and alcoalcism to a far greater degree than when it was permitted.
The old story, what is forbidden is desired.
Yes. Exactly, and that's an interesting...
Forbidden fruit.
An interesting illustration, for instance, that the people in Hamburg who produce pornography are those who lobby in Bonn for this article, that the pornography article is being kept. And so they are really, together with the German bishops, fighting together that pornography articles should be kept.
Because this will increase their business.
Yes, exactly.
Because the banning of pornography increases pornography.
So I think you're both in agreement, gentlemen, that bans against pornography should be lifted.
Yes, but lifted intelligently and not just indiscriminately. I think the way it is done in Denmark is very intelligent. There are still very strict laws against the pushing or promoting of pornography among people who do not wish it, against the public display of pornography, and against pornography introduced to children. I think that that's a very intelligent way of going about it.
Could this whole pornography phenomenon, as you describe it as being somewhat of a throwing off, a rejection of Puritan values from many years ago, from generations, could this possibly be described as a psychological overcompensation for something which is lacking, that perhaps many people who claim to be free about pornography and free sexually and are all for free love and promiscuity and so on, are really very inhibited themselves, but trying to overcompensate?
I think there's a lot in that. I think there's a lot in that.
As an example, for instance, the best pornography consumers in Switzerland and in Germany, as far as we have results from the shops, are, for instance, the prostitutes.
Themselves?
Yes. There are at least some prostitutes, I don't know the number, who now use pornography as a kind of fulfillment and not the sexual intercourse.
So their physical sexual, yes, life is not fulfilling for them.
It's not fulfilling. And also interesting in Denmark was the fact that by far the overwhelming number of customers in these sex shops were middle-aged and older men.
Is that typical in the countries you visited?
Yes. Yes.
How would you describe your customers?
A lot of older men, let's say from 30 to 55, comes in. Older people looking for the erotic literature, for mechanic helps, vibrators, special for women, or artificial pennies, things like that. I think the younger men, 18 to 30, are not really interested in erotic literature. They're buying, let's say, education books, they're buying prophylactics, they're buying games. And older people, older men, are more interested in those erotic literature, in books, magazines, and so on.
And the other interesting factor is, contrary to widespread opinion, the youth are not negatively affected by pornography, but on the contrary, they tend to spurn sexual abuse and to ridicule pornography.
Would this indicate to you that we might consider modern youth as a whole to be, in their own sexual lives, well-adjusted?
I don't know if they're so well-adjusted always, but I do think they're more sophisticated.
There are more possibilities.
There
also
are more possibilities, and they're much more informed and more readily informed. And the other factor is that in spurning the values of their parents, they cling more to themselves. And the strange phenomenon is that they tend to be more faithful to pairs, even though outside of marriage, than was the case perhaps formerly.
What did you buy today?
I bought a Renault Tama.
And what is that?
Well, I never tried it because I cannot try it. It's something for women.
Uh-huh. Now, are there other names for these?
I know a name from German newspapers. It's Duo Playballs.
Where are you from?
Amsterdam.
In Holland. Yes. Well, you have a lot of sex shops in Holland. What do you think of the one here in Bern?
Well, it's rather meager.
What's missing?
Well, I don't think the books are very very free.
You mean they're not pornographic enough?
No, I think so.
What do you think should be in a sex shop?
More dress, sex dresses and underwear.
And underwear?
Underwear. Mm-hmm.
And what about a...
For a woman, it is not enough here, and not so sexy.
You think it's too too masculine here?
Oh, just conservative.
Do you buy the sort of sexy underwear and things yourself?
I don't need anymore.
What do you mean by you don't need it anymore?
Well, a few years ago, perhaps, but, well, it doesn't make any difference for me anymore.
Je viens entre tes reins. Je vais et je viens. never good.
No. Max, no.
If with the younger generation we're getting what we might call, let's hope anyway, a healthier sexual attitude, would this indicate that pornography as we know it today is a flash in the pan and is quite likely going to die out in the future, at least in its present form?
I wouldn't say that it is going to die out, because pornography for me is more a psychological than a social problem, and each one has the sexual problem, and there will always be people who can't get over it, even in the future, even with an emancipated society.
I understand in Denmark that the industry domestically is pretty well dead, that they have to export just about everything now. What's happened?
Well, mainly it's been an export business all from the very beginning, and the so-called live shows in which live sexual activity takes place on the stage has just about disappeared from the scene. They've gone bankrupt. And this proves once again that the liberation actually is the best way to fight excessive pornography.
What would you say is the benefit of pornography?
Well, for those people, for those 4 to 5% who need it, it's a kind of fulfillment. But then another problem I would say it solves is crime.
What statistics or what proof is there that a free atmosphere of pornography will actually inhibit sexual crimes? This has been claimed by many people.
From a psychological and sociological point of view, nowadays, we are convinced that there is a connection, but it has still to be, in a scientific way, be defined.
Except that in Denmark, the Justice Department showed that the crime, certain types of crimes have actually gone down since the liberation of pornography. And mainly serious offenses such as rape against children under 15 years of age. And both bishops, Lutheran and Catholic, have said that they have seen no evidence whatsoever that the liberation of pornography has affected church life positively or negatively.
What is the church attitude in Denmark at the moment, in the other countries, Holland and Germany as well, in regard to pornography? Mr. Umfeld?
It differs very much. For instance, in Germany, the bishops are still very strongly behind the prohibition of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
In Holland, they are for dropping this pornography paragraph, obscenity paragraph. In Denmark, Bishop told us at the beginning he was fighting against it, and now he is convinced it was the best that could have been done. So you see that there are changes possible.
Now, what has been the reaction from the city authorities and also from the public to the sex shop? What sort of opposition or what sort of reaction have you had?
The first reaction from the public, we had letters. People told us that they are not very happy about sex shops, that we are dirty shops, that we burn became dirty about that, and we had letters that people told us, now it's time, we are congratulating you that you opened such a shop, we needed it for a long time.
How often do the police surprise you, come into the shop and demand a look around?
We do not really know when the police is coming. Sometimes we heard it afterwards and knew that police came to look around.
Undercover?
Yeah.
So I could be a policeman then, looking in your shop.
Yes.
Now, how much trouble do you have getting this material into Switzerland?
Sometimes we have troubles to get it into Switzerland, but I think we now have an organization that works quite good. And if that goods are in Switzerland, we have no problem to sell it.
So in other words, you're not allowed to import them, but if you get them here by whatever means you use, then you can sell them.
Yes.
Now, have you ever thought of challenging this regulation so that you will have no difficulty in bringing these materials from, let's say, Germany into Switzerland to make it official?
We thought about that idea, yes, but I think it's no chance in a moment to change the rights here in Switzerland, to change the laws. On one hand, and the other hand, to change the law in Switzerland, that's a matter of about 5 or 10 years, and it costs too much money for us.
Do you find that the people who come in here display any kind of embarrassment coming into a sex shop?
Yes, sometimes, yes. Most people do not know. There are some people coming in saying I should have something for my friend or something for my father or answer like that. But most people just buy and go away.
Now, you have two attractive girls working in the shop. And I would imagine that a lot of men, for example, if they come into the shop, would hesitate to really buy something and pay a female cashier for it. Don't you think this keeps a lot of men away because they're just embarrassed to buy something from a girl?
Contrary, I think. A lot of men are quite happy to talk with an attractive girl to ask things, what is good for this and this. And I think the men would not talk to a man behind the counter.
There's a girl behind the counter selling the merchandise. Were you surprised? Did you feel slightly embarrassed doing business with a girl?
No, why should I?
Do people sometimes come in and say, what do you have under the counter? I want to buy it.
Yes, they come sometimes and we tell them that we do not have anything.
What do you think a person expects to find when he says, what do you have under the counter? What is he really looking for?
I think he's looking for special hard pornography or for movies with hard pictures in it. But we just can't sell it.
Now, you have three sex shops. You have one in Biel, not too far from Bern. You have, of course, this one here in Bern and one in Thun. This is basically all still German Switzerland. And now you want to expand to French-speaking Switzerland. And just observing, at least I don't seem to find the great quantity of sexual material from French-speaking areas, and certainly not from French-speaking Switzerland, as you do get from Germany and from German-speaking Switzerland, for example, and more northern parts of Europe. How much trouble and how much opposition do you think you're going to have to get yourself started in French Switzerland?
I think French people, or let's say French, Swiss French people too, is much more opener to things of sex and sexuality, and probably do not need a lot of magazines, books, erotic literature to help himself. Mm-hmm. They are more open in a kind of life. They do not have so much taboos like we have it in a Swiss, in a German Swiss, or in Germany. Mm-hmm. Germany now is going down with the taboos, but German Swiss is still the same like 20 years ago.
What would you say is the service which the sex shop is supplying to the society of Bern?
We are giving people possibility to buy things they cannot have or they cannot buy without difficulties. They have to travel to Germany, they have to travel to Denmark for these things, and I think we are just closing a market hole.
What is pornography?
I don't think pornography exists.
What is pornography?
It is written or illustrated publications of sex life.
What is pornography?
I'm just not able to define pornography.
Making the normal seem abnormal.
Anything that's connected with unusual sexual behavior.
What is pornography?
Pornography, the sex shop, and do we need them? Taking part were Al Imfeld, Roman Catholic priest and journalist, Adolf Schalk, Swiss-based American journalist and correspondent for the U.S. Catholic and National Catholic Reporter, and Klaus Funkhauser of the Sex Shop in Bern. The program was produced and presented by Bob Zanotti, technical production Claude Alain Mart.
je me retiens.
Just listening to Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti. For more information, go to www.switzerlandinsound.com.